right. That's good singing all the way around. Take your Bible, if you will, to the book of Isaiah.
Isaiah chapter number 56. If you find the place, you're able to stand. In Isaiah chapter number 56. Isaiah 56, about verse number 10. The Bible said, as watchmen are blind, they are all ignorant. They're all dumb dogs that cannot bark. Sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough. And they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, and every one for his gain from every quarter, from his quarter. Come ye, say they, and I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundant. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it, and how good that it is to be back here in the house of God tonight. We pray that now that you'd move upon us within us, save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and be seated. I want to preach a little while tonight. I got the title wrong this morning, and I couldn't remember exactly what it said, but I found it. I finally found it. And let me say to you that, if you will, is that I hope you'll pay attention. I'm not trying to keep you from going to a camp meeting, or if you ever go to one, you can get all you can get and can all you can take and take all you can. But I just wanted to give you some things. Is that in 1983, I wrote this. I've been in the ministry 9 years. I've been in it 49 years now. Some of them old boys say, well, you know, he's young in the ministry, he's going to learn better. 49 years later, it's still the word of the Lord. And I'll give you some things that you ought to look for. Now, I can't tell when you're not listening most of the time. I mean, I've had deaf people before that had people sign, and I could tell when they quit listening, the signer finally just had to quit because they wasn't paying any attention to it, you know. And, yeah, I'm just saying to you that, if you will, I've been in places, you know, where the people sitting right two or three pews back, they want to look at you and stick their tongue out at you. And but don't pull that stunt with me. I'll tell you, no thank you, ma'am. I use toilet paper. God bless you. What's good for the goose, good for the gander. I want to preach tonight a little while that, if I might, on this old sermon. It's called Camp Compromise or Cash Meetings. Now, I learned it because that I'd gone to a bunch of camp meetings in days gone by. It didn't stop me any, but I just got to paying attention at a lot of things that were going on contrary to the blessed word of the Lord. And I'm talking about good men. I met some fellows that I thought were good, studious men, that were good expounders of the scripture, ended up being child molesters. Some of them dead and in hell already. Somebody said, oh, you mean to tell me you're going to be that harsh with a preacher that you once listened to? If he's a child molester, he's hell bound, and the sooner he gets there, the better. Make no mistake about it. In this lesson that we're looking at here, this is a text that I used way back when. I want to say to you that we're living at a time when people are ignorant of the word of the Lord, no doubt about it, not only from the pulpit, but also sitting around in the pew. And let me tell you something, is that the Bible matters. What God said, he wasn't just trying to fill up space. Whatever God says, but it matters. And we ought to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the blessed word of truth. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at right here, you'll find that what they've gone from is that in the day we live in, preachers have gone from studying the Bible, building their heart, building their mind, to running up and down the road and just bussing here and there and socializing. You can tell the difference between it whenever they stand up in the pulpit, no doubt about that. Now, let me say to you, while that the roads are kept hot with travel, I remember going to listen to a fellow one time, and son, he just beat us over the head about not going out. And how many people have you witnessed to? How many tracts did you give out? How many? And he goes on like that, and after it was over, I walked up and I said, you know, I happened to go to the last two or three camp meetings that showed up and little old revival things. I've noticed that you was at every one of them. How many tracts have you been passing out? How much time have you spent studying your Bible? He didn't like that, and he got out of the restroom as quickly as we possibly could. You know, And so let me say to you that if you will, make no mistake about it, is that you'll find out is that we're living in a world that somehow or another they want to be able to rule the flock of God, and they do it with cruelty, and they do it and make a prey of them, and as a result of it, they prey upon them. Do you realize at all that the root of all evil has sprouted even in the house of God, and it's got a good fight, not fight of fame, but the fight of finances, and instead of faith, as a result of it, what they're doing is that they're doing what they can to take care of themselves at the expense of the sheep that are sitting out there before them. You know, I had an old preacher tell me one time, and I was reading, and one of them old, he says, if you don't like the smell of sheep, you ought not to be a shepherd. That's true, isn't it? I want to give you, as you look into this Bible lesson here tonight, is that shepherds have become, in this lesson, first of all, they got to where they were sightless. They were blind. Couldn't see nothing going on. I told you way back when, it's not so much what the average Baptist preacher says, it's what he won't say. That's what's going on in the day we live in. They're sightless. They don't see anything going on. And as a result, they once stood for something. Now they're just kindly fading from the view. Second of all, they not only can't see, but they're silent. You'll find out, you'd be surprised on how many scriptures that are in the Bible that people just go ahead and, well, let's stay silent on that. Especially, you know, if you're in a meeting. I used to have some in preachers because, you know, I'm a judgment preacher, always have been, and all that. I like to preach about the grace of God, and God will snatch you and save you from the guttermost to the uttermost. If you'll come to him as an empty-handed beggar and be drawn by the Spirit of God, and God gives you repentance and God gives you faith, you can bow your head and heart and be saved by the grace of God. But let me tell you, make no mistake about it, is that I had many a preacher, you know, I'm going to call on you to preach here after a while, and we would really and truly like you to get, do you have something sweet and sugary and all of that? I said, no, I'm a diabetic. Who does that? What kind of preacher doesn't tell a man, hey, just preach the word, buddy, whatever God puts on your heart, whatever God says from the scripture, who does that? I can name you several of them. I want you to see that in this lesson, the Bible says that we ought to be awakened to sin and righteousness. We ought to be awakened to righteousness and sin not. And I speak this to your shame, for there's some that have not heard the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Now, not only has he gotten where he's sightless, but he's silent. And then they get smooth. They don't say anything that's going to bother any congregation. I said to these boys and girls, all of you sitting here that are in Sunday school this morning, that were in our Sunday school that was in here, you better be careful and guard your heart and guard your mind. Don't let the devil mess up your life. I mean, you're clean as a hound's tooth right now, but if you're not careful, one of these days you'll get the wrong gal or the wrong guy. And let me tell you right now is that be mean as the devil and you can't stand up. And then as a result, you've got to part ways. And now you've got a marriage just hanging in the balance on you that now's already went south. I'm going to tell you something. You can get rid of a lot of things. If you don't pay your bills, that's one thing. But you can correct that. But you'll never get rid of the stigma of a bad marriage. You'll never get rid of it. You can get forgiveness, but you'll never get rid of it. You'll never get past it. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out that here they got to where that was a subject that was taboo. And as a result of that, you'll find that people became greedy, a filthy lucre, and so forth and so on. You ain't got a guess at what God says in the Bible about what's right and about what's wrong and about what is and what ain't in the mind of God. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, is that you're going to find out is that they got to where they were selfish. These were greedy dogs, the Bible said. Isn't that a terminology for the shepherds? He said they're greedy dogs and they can never have enough. In other words, what they were doing is they were trying to cry more, 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 and they needed more out of that congregation than the congregation could really give. Now, I want to tell you something, is that you'll find that the reason why that they did that because that they wanted to be able to get more to pay for that building, more to pay for their fun and games, and more to be able, and they just needed more, they needed more members that had more money. And let me tell you right now, make no mistake about it, it's good to have a little bit of jingle in your pocket. I'm glad to be able to know the Lord, and the Lord's taking good care of me. But I got to tell you right up front is that I'm not interested in people because of the money that they may or may not have. I'm not interested in how much I can get out of them. I'm interested in how much I can help them by the glory of God and the blessed word of the Lord. Now, let me tell you what happens at some of these meetings that goes on. They use, and you're not going to know this, but you go to watching it. They use a communistic method to get money out of people. First thing they do is that they cause anxiety to those that are there. And what they ended up doing was is that they're anxious, and listeners said, you ought to get excited. You ought to be anxious about what God's doing. And then they're about to induce some guilt into you. Everyone ought to give such and such for this cause. And let me tell you, how could any wicked person that would not want to give to this worthy cause? Then they jump in there pretty quick and go to tell you what God told them you ought to be giving. I've had preachers that got up and said, God told me somebody here ought to give away their car. God told me somebody ought to give away their house and their land. Listen, well, God told me to tell you, you're lying and shut up. But I'm just telling you now. Not everybody's going to know that. Not everybody's going to do that. And I've seen people, you know, that absolutely, that gave away something they really couldn't give away. By the way, if you got a note somewhere on it and there's a lien at it, you're still going to owe whoever you're paying for it. But here's a crowd trying to induce guilt. You're living too good, and people out there are suffering, and now they want you to give what you got and to be able to satisfy their cause. I remember when I was at over in Myrtle, Mississippi, this having one of them long, drawn-out, hour-and-a-half offerings. Somebody said, I ain't got no money, preacher, and they brought down a quilt they'd made and said, I want to leave this big quilt here. And boy, it was nice, too. And said, I just want to donate to this meeting. And God's burdened my heart about it. All right, now we're fixing to go ahead and get somebody that's we can prop up to get somebody else feeling bad about what they've got. Some people went down and said, I want to give this guitar. And somebody else hollered, that's my guitar. About that time, an old woman got up from the back. She came to the front and said, listen, I don't have any money whatsoever, but God wants me to have that quilt. And the preacher got to pulling back on the quilt the other direction and didn't want her having it. I guarantee you, he wanted money for it, but he wasn't letting her have it on a credit. I got to say to you that, if you will, there's a lot of foolery that goes on. There's some things go on at a camp meeting, friend, that wouldn't do to spray on an overpass. I didn't get a lot of amens out of that, but it's the truth of God. I'm telling you right up front. I want to say to you that, if you will, what they do is they repeat it, and they repeat it over and over again. They make an appeal, and they repeat it so much because naturally the Lord must be talking to you if I'm having to repeat it that much, they're thinking, until it's not long until exhaustion sets in on the person that they're working on and trying to beat them down. Long services, been going at it all day, been going at it half the night. And let me tell you, I've seen some offerings that lasted nearly 4 hours. I wish I had as much sense then as I do now. I'd have got up and went home. But in this lesson that you're looking at, let me tell you, that finally exhaustion sets in on a person. That's the way communism does it. They finally get to where that whatever you want to hear, they'll say it, and whatever you need, they'll give it if they've got it, or they'll do the best they can to be able to try to get it. You know what that is? That's given by seduction. That's given by manipulation. That's given by, not from your heart. Let me tell you, nobody's got the right to tell you, listen, you ought to tithe or you're a God robber. You ought to give to missions above your tithe. That's what God said. But that's an offer there that let every man as he purposeth in his heart. Ain't nobody got the right to tell you what you ought to be giving. I thought about that today whenever I was sitting there and eating a payday candy bar. I didn't spend money for it. One of my grandkids gave it to me. We had already ate that dark chocolate one yesterday. My wife and I, since we're both of us have a sugar trouble, we split those things. That way you'd get about half the sugar that you ought to be. I just said all that to be able to tell you something right now is that people, if you're not careful, they'll give stuff they're not able to give. I want you to look at a passage real quickly. Don't lose your thought. But in 2 Corinthians in chapter number 8, I've got a good friend of mine. He's in heaven. And he's already in heaven right now. And he learned how to be able to give, he says. And I don't want to call his name, and I don't want to call the dead guy's name. He read a tract, but the dead guy's name that wrote the tract was Oswald Smith, and it was about faith, promise, giving, this and that. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I mean, I was born at night, but it wasn't last night. And I'm not here talking to you as a 9-year-old preacher. I'm talking about 49 years down the road. I've got a Bible, thank you very much. This Bible said that I'm to give a tithe of everything that I have, and that the Bible said that I'm to give an offering above my tithe as I purpose in my heart. And let me tell you, is that what they're saying is, yeah, well, you ought to be able to trust God for what you can't see. Why don't you trust God just for an amount and just pull it out? You want to trust God for what they're wanting you to trust God for, but I got to tell you right now, that ain't what the Bible teaches. Now, when I say that, there's a lot of people, their ears, one guy's ear fell clean off. No, that's not true, but it might as well have. He didn't hear nothing else. 2 Corinthians, the Bible says in chapter number 8, and the Bible said that if you look in verse number 12, for if there be first a willing mind, look at it, it's accepted according as a man hath, and not according that he hath not. God's not wanting you to promise something that you don't have. God's wanting you to be sensitive to Him out of what you do have. See that? I can't tell you how many preachers in an argument that I've showed that to. Well, I'm going to have to do a little more research. Well, search it all you want to. That's what it says. And let me tell you, right now, some of them have never... You know, it's a funny thing in the day and hour. I used to go to those meetings there, and of course, you know, in the dorm, there's always trying to get an argument started between me and somebody else. They'd always bring it right on in there. I mean, one of them old boys there was telling me one time, he said, well, I'll tell you one thing, preacher, and he began to call some authors that he knew. I like to read after them old Puritan authors, and he said, I feel like my opinion's as good as theirs is. I said, your opinion might be better when it comes to an opinion, but when you come to something you believe doctrinally, you better have a chapter, a book, and verse, dear friend, because you're not going to intimidate me like you do most of the people you come in contact with. Now he knows I'm right. He's already passed to the other side. I want to say that whenever you begin to look into it, that I begin to notice a lot of other things that were going on. Do you know what faith is? Somebody said, well, how are you going to have faith if you're just giving out of whatever you have? By obeying the word of the Lord, takes faith to act upon what God said. It don't take any faith to be stupid and to just guess at it and all that business there. You might as well be down there if you're going to gamble with God and go down there to the casino. You might hit something. Now, I've never gambled any whatsoever. I mean, I'm sorry. I just don't do it and all that business there. I hope you'll pray for this ticket. I've got this lottery ticket in my pocket. I'd like to hit it big. Oh, yeah, yeah, you're thinking, oh, he's sorry. Well, if I hit it big and gave you half of it, you wouldn't think I was that sorry. I don't really have a lottery ticket. I don't really have one. Here's a guy here, man. He waves his hand and shouting. He'll wave his hand. Hey, listen, thinking about it, you give me all that money, too, I'd be waving my hand. In fact, I'd wave both of them for you and all that right there. I was driving down the road, you know, Brother Dub Hendricks. I said, if you win the lottery, would you give me half of it? He said, sure I will. I said, I'll do the same for you. And then he died and he went on. I went to dreaming after I'd made that covenant with Brother Dub Hendricks. I went to dreaming and I thought, hey, I want it big. And then I spent the rest of the night tossing and turning, trying to figure out how to hide it from him so he wouldn't know and I didn't have to pay him the half. See what gambling does? It makes you a liar and a cheater and not sleep good. Then lo and behold, if he didn't die, I thought, I'm in the clear. I'm in the clear now. And then I sat down and he reminded me of the day that I made a covenant like that with Jeannie Gullett. Well, I already knew I'm not going to be buying no tickets, but I was hoping she might break down and get one. Not really, I'm just kidding about everything except that. I want to say to you that if you will, it takes faith to act upon what God said. Don't let people intimidate you and don't let people beat you over the head and give you some kind of a burden that God's not trying to put upon your heart and your life. Amen. Listen, should you be witnessing? You better bet you should. With your lip, with your life, being faithful to God, being faithful at the house of God, you ought to tithe and give to offering. Above your tithe, you ought to give as to God. A purpose is in your heart, but make no mistake about it. You'll get no glory from God and no blessing from God for doing what somebody that you were impressed with put upon you. You see what I'm talking about? In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, let me get down to the short row with it. Listen, I know across this country here, some of them people that we used to go to church with and sit with, now they're like little Baptist popes, you know. They've got their own little crew. They got them under their thumb. And as a result of that, you'll find is that they've got them pretty much singing to whatever tune that they're playing. And just, I don't know, even some of them that are perverted. I can't tell you whenever you go off anywhere, and I don't care if you're just visiting in another church, you better watch after your wife. You better watch after your husband. You better watch after your son and your daughter. You better watch after them. You better watch after that. And let me tell you right now is I don't want to be unkind and unforgiving, but I think, you know what I think, that a child molester ought to be hung on the courthouse square with a sign around his neck. This is a child molester that's been put to death and met his mind. Somebody said, well, what if you could win them to the Lord? I don't want to win them to the Lord. I would have wanted to win them before they got into that. Once you get into that, you're past the point of no return. You see what I'm talking about in this lesson that we're looking at? Let me tell you, we live in a world, you'll find sometimes people with bonds, people that are bankers, people that are in business and paying for items that somebody has been quote-unquote burdened down at the camp meeting to be able to give away this or to give away that. Now they're in trouble doing what they can to try to get it undone. All right, in closing tonight, let me tell you something. With such demands upon the preacher that he's got a building, now he's got bonds, and he's got all this here, he's going to have to compromise or lose some of his congregation. And what he does is he begins to tiptoe around, and let me tell you, that stinker finally becomes a sinker, and he sinks as low as he can. And the reason being he's in trouble, the lust of the eyes, looking for beauty, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life has gotten a hold of him, and now he's bitten off more than he can chew. I want to say to you that, if you will, that we live in a day and an hour when all of that business is happening because nobody wanted to listen to the blessed word of the Lord. In this lesson here, you'll find out is that somebody's going to give an argument. Well, what about that church over there at Macedonia that gave beyond their power? Oh, I've had some all of it thrown at me. Did you know over there that nobody was trying to coerce them to give in Macedonia? Did you realize, that they wanted to give out of their poverty? And as a result of that, they made the Apostle Paul take it. He wasn't trying to hoodwink them. He wasn't trying to talk nothing out of them. They just simply said that we want to have part of this ministry. And Paul said, and they gave beyond their power. But it wasn't because they had some knucklehead standing up trying to run an auction and trying to talk them out of money they didn't have. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that I'm a part of the family of God. And let me tell you what the Bible said in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 23. We're to look well to our herd. We're to look well to the people of God. So, if I can kind of cut you off at the corner, give you an idea of some things it took me many years to see and know and love. If you're not careful, you'll end up one of these days, somebody will come along and you'll be so mesmerized by them and all that business there. In fact, it's real hard in the day and hour we're living in. It's real hard. Now, I don't have anybody trying to mimic or duplicate me, but if you ever know anybody, they get one preacher and they want to act like that one. Then they get with another preacher and they want to act like that one. And then you get with another preacher and they want to act like that one. Now you got three different ways you can go and so forth, and it just keeps going on and on. Why don't you just see what God wants for your life and just be like him and do what he said? I can tell you, you better hide the word of the Lord in your heart that you might, number one, not sin against him, and that, number two, teach transgressors his ways. And you'll be all right if you do that. You'll be all right if you do that. And all that right there. And I'll tell you, I've been and preached a few meetings there, evangelistic meetings and stuff like that. And every now and again, somebody will come up that sees something going on that their poor preacher don't want to have to deal with. And then they want to get you right in the middle of it. And I tell you, I'm too old for all that now. How about you just getting in the book, seeing what thus saith the Lord about the matter? I want to say to you that in these cash meetings, and I told you about a man this morning that gave and got all stirred up about how talented that lesbian woman was that sang that song. And he'll have to live with that until Jesus comes and every time he sees me. He should have been listening. He should have paid attention. I bet you he wishes he had now. What's the odds on that happening again? I don't know what it is. I want to say in closing that if you will, Bible said you and I, we're to give, and not grudgingly, nor of necessity. Oh, what'd you end up committing that way? Well, the pressure was on. I see. Well, the pressure ain't on me. Of course, you ain't got to pray about giving your money away if you ain't got the $5, $10. You'd be like that old boy, you know, at one of them meetings, and he walked up and he said, "Brother Dennis, God put this on my heart to give you," and it said 20 on it, but it was a gospel tract. And I opened it up and I said, "Well, God bless you, thank you. I need the gospel anyway. I wish it would have been a 20 because I already know the Lord and the free part of sin." And so I gave it back to him. And he took, boy, I mean, it looked like a folded up $20 bill. He walked over there to another guy, another brother, had his family there. Poor, couldn't even pay attention. And he said, "Brother, God's burdened me to put this on my heart to give to you." And he stuck it in his hand. And when that brother looked at it and saw it was a 20, he thought, he broke down, went to bawling. He said, "I told my wife, listen, I need something from God. And I know we ain't got enough gas to even hardly get there, but I hope we can go and God will do something. Thank you, brother, for," and the old boy, now it's backfired on him. Fixing to cost him $20 for the good joke he's played. I wouldn't take for the experience. I had more joy watching that old boy have to eat crow and pull out $20 to give him, and he was probably as poor nearly as the old boy he is helping. I wonder tonight, are you glad to be saved to know the Lord? Would you like to leave here shouting when it comes your time to go? Well, this be careful that you don't let anybody blind you along the way. Because let me tell you, salvation's for free. It's for everyone that'll receive it. It's for everlasting to those that do. But don't you ever think for one minute the devil, because he can't touch your soul, is not after your testimony somehow or another. Somebody said, "Preacher, what do you think that old boy ought to done?" He probably just what he done, break down and cry, because you know you can't beat $20 out of somebody pulling a prank on you. I'm closing. I'll give you this last thing and I'm done. Me and Brother Darnell were sitting over there in Louisiana. Somebody gave me a lottery ticket that you rubbed the scratch off, and it was a rigged one. And buddy, you're the winner. Not only that, if you got so many of them, you're a $20,000 winner. I sit there and they gave it to me. I'm so stupid, and I'm sitting there and I said, "Ma'am," waitress comes around. I said, "You must have dropped that out of your little bag or something." "No, I don't think." When she picked it up, saw what it was. She began to rub on that. She got to looking at it. Then she got to looking closer at it. "I think I've won." I said, "No, surely not." I got to looking at it. If you turned over on the bag, you'd won some kind of a camel jockey position with some kind of a wagon train headed west. Man, I felt bad when that old gal was so excited about winning that lottery. But I didn't have $20,000 to give her. Now, how would you feel if the devil was to pull a prank like that on you? Well, this devil here ain't done that no more. I mean, I felt bad for him. I tried to give her a tip, and I'm talking about back then, buddy, a tip was harder to come by than it was to be able to pay the meal. But Brother Darnell paid the meal, and I tried to leave her a dollar or two or whatever I had. The way I feel like is this right here, I hope that she never falls for that little old deal again. Are you saved tonight? Well, if you're not, you could be. But you'll have to come as an empty-headed beggar, not bringing nothing to the Lord, as an empty-handed beggar to the throne of grace, and he'll save you gloriously and victoriously. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed tonight. Yeah, Brother Meyer, him and his wife, y'all go back there, and we're going to have you stand back there, and I'm going to take up enough money to buy you a tank of gas. And I've got a ticket here that I've never scratched off. Now, but y'all go back there if you don't mind, if you've got time. Stand back there in front of that sound system. They're going to want to meet you, greet you. And, you know, if you've got a dollar or two, all my money's in the pickup. I'm going to borrow money from my wife, though I can promise you that right now. And let's help him with a tank of gas. Now, we're not doing that wanting you to come back and join here and that there. We make you sign in blood for that. No. But we just want to help you and be a blessing to you. And so that's right. It's only the right thing to do. And so as we get ready to go to the Lord in prayer. All right? As we pray tonight, thank God for the